This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
I've never been on live television before, but apparently sometimes I don't watch the news.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Because I'm a kid, and apparently Grandpa just gives me a remote after we watch the Powerball.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
The Fan.
I can't keep on losing you.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Got some good mail sack questions coming in. 55305. Keep firing away. We'll get to them coming up here in about 15 minutes.
Pretty shameful what they're doing to people in Wisconsin. Shout out to them making them go out and vote when they're also telling them to be quarantined.
Gotta love the Supreme Court, who said that times are too dangerous for them to hear oral arguments for the first time since the Spanish flu in 1918.
Oh, how ironic.
And then voting to make people go vote in Wisconsin today. So, you know.
Because voting by mail has always sucked in Oregon. It never goes well.
We're with our Wisconsin brethren today. We got a lot to get to here in the final hour. Let's start, though, the favorite Blazer of all time bracket. So we're going to wait. Somebody asked, can I go vote on this online? We're hoping to get it up online later in the week.
Will just text me if we can get this down to our 32 and have our proper seeds. They can get it online. We will create an actual bracket on the 1080 website. We'll link it to our Facebook page. We'll tweet it out. You know, because I know not everybody goes to 1080fan.com. That's fine.
Sure.
So we'll baste it on the website, and we will get it out to you in every social media aspect that we can.
So we'll shoot for doing that tomorrow because we're going to have the official bracket. And here's kind of where we're at. So we narrowed it down to 27 names that are officially in the bracket. We got 27 automatic bids. And we have 5 play-in games. So we can rattle through these at whatever speed, spend more time on certain matchups that you want. I got some numbers and stats behind all the guys that are involved in these. But we can start rolling through. So the first play-in matchup, and you can go vote at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan, favorite Blazer of all time bracket. This one is Rod Strickland, played on the Portland Trail Blazers from 1992 to 1996, taking on Buck Williams, who was here from 1989 to 1996.
I hate this matchup because I think both have an argument to maybe in the bracket.
They do.
I am going Buck here. Buck was on a much more memorable run with Portland. I know Rod got here kind of at the end of those finals runs, but Buck was here for him. And like I disagree slightly with Swigard. I know a lot of people that loved Buck Williams. He was their favorite because he was that role guy who played good defense and rebounded and did the tough nitty gritty things. He wore the specs as well. I think people always appreciated those.
He did, yeah.
I'm going Buck Williams, unfortunately, over Rod Strickland.
Now this, I'm just going to vote based on my own personal favorites from when I was a kid and when I was growing up or whatever era of fandom we're talking about. I am voting for Rod Strickland in this bracket. I loved Rod Strickland as a kid. The wristband that he wore, I thought he did a good job of kind of bridging those finals teams to the next era of teams. He left in 1996, so there was a small gap there.
Didn't he get arrested as a Blazer?
I don't know if he ever got arrested, but he was most certainly involved with the Mall Girls in...
Where was that?
Utah? I want to say Utah. Maybe it was Idaho for some reason. I don't know. But yeah, the Mall Girls, yeah.
Okay.
But he was implicated in those rumors.
Never charged.
He was a wizard.
Oh, when that happened?
When
yeah, because
he
went to Washington after that. Yeah, he was in Washington from 96 until 2001.
And he was also arrested in 2012 as an assistant in Kentucky.
Yeah, and then he also came back to Portland in 2001. So remember, he was on played 21 games with the Blazers in 2000-2001. But he was damn good when he was here, man. Nearly 20 points a game. Had a couple of years where he almost averaged a double-double in assists. Buck Williams is a fan favorite, I think, more so for a lot of folks because you see more jerseys of his around. But just from my own personal childhood, I vote Rod Strickland.
Oh, this is Buck. Anybody that, one, sports the old school goggles, two, works that hard to rebound. I love those guys.
Mm-hmm. It's very Portland.
It's very Portland.
Very Portland.
Very lunch pail.
Yeah, he was here. And again, the years on that, Buck Williams in Portland, if you forgot, from 1989 all the way until 1996. You can go vote on that one. At Dirt and Sprague, at 1080 The Fan right now, about 250 votes on it. Buck Williams rolling away 79.2 to 20.8%. All right, next fan favorite Blazer of all time is, we're going into the Jailblazer bracket here. This one's interesting. I didn't know where to go with it, and I'm curious where you guys vote. Now, these are both texted in suggestions of names that people wanted in the bracket. Isaiah Ryder, good old JR, 1996 to 1999 was his Blazer tenure versus Bonzi Wells, who was here from 98 until 2004.
So I was surprised you put Bonzi in this.
It was a fan submission. Fans,
like a lot of people were texting it in.
Yeah, I got it texted a lot yesterday, and then I threw the names out on Twitter and said, who am I forgetting? And a lot of people kept tweeting as Bonzi Wells.
Was he that? I mean, I know there's...
It ended poorly because he flipped off the fans.
Before the double gun salute and after the double gun salute and the SI article. But I don't know.
I'm going JR.
You go JR?
JR offended my mom.
Not you.
Well,
no, we went to the player, you know, the what is that called? Uh-huh. Like the Wells Fargo
player
scrimmage.
Fest?
Yeah, Fan Fest. And we got in there early. So we were in the second row on the court. It's the only time I ever sat that close. And JR shot a three-pointer in the corner, and he got pushed, and he kind of fell into the front row, and he looked at all of us, and there were a bunch of kids, and he just went, in that boat? I think one guy was like, hey, and he was like, that was a foul, man. And he ran down the court. My mom was like, I don't know who that is, but I hope you don't like him.
That made you like J.R. Ryder more,
like,
probably.
J.R. Ryder, man.
Come on, he was great in Minnesota. He won a dunk contest, scored 20 a game in 1994. He's great. I love J.R.
Did you not see him against Utah?
Yeah, this one, like these are the kind of random ones.
These guys are going to get bumped in their first matchup.
They will get bumped in the first matchup. It's a playing game, so keep that in mind. So this is to be a part of the Jailblazer seed, or mini bracket, if you will, of eight names. This is for the number 8 seed in the Jailblazer region. I never had it with Bonzi Wells as a Blazer fan. Like, I never had that love affair. When I think of his tenure as a Blazer and the teams he was on from 1998 to 1994, he was never in my like top three.
Yeah, but when I rewatched
as a fan favorite
the 2000 Western Conference Final Game 7, another thing that stuck out to me was Bonzi Wells was actually pretty good in that game.
He had a great run there. After his first year, he didn't play much in Portland.
Right.
Year two, he didn't start any games. And 2000-2001 was when he submitted into the starting lineup. He's 12 a game, 17 a game, 15 a game. Like he had a decent run here.
He was a good player. Yeah.
He was a good scorer. I remember him having, what did he score in one of those Dallas games in the series? They were down 3-0 and came back and forced to game 7.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel like he went for 50 in one of those games, if I'm not mistaken. He had like one of those crazy kind of performances,
mm-hmm.
But J.R. Ryder was before those years. And of course things ended poorly with J.R. Ryder as well, but he was a big deal when he came to Portland. From Minnesota, winning a dunk contest, he scored 20 a game. Like, he was a well-known name around the league.
Well, because we still were at this, maybe he'll get his act together.
Sure.
Thing will be okay.
We can salvage him.
But the potential there, the talent was clearly there. It was just stuff with JR.
So I vote JR Ryder. Bonzi Wells, though, running away with it, 70.5% to 29.5% against Isaiah Ryder. I thought that was interesting. Next one up, this is for the modern era Blazer bracket. Another blowout in all these playing games. And I might keep voting for the underdogs here. Travis Outlaw, the good old Troutlaw, who we talked about yesterday, 03 to 2010. He was here a long time, man. Taking on Yusuf Nurkic, 2016 to present. You go Troutlaw or Nurk Fever?
Look, I think the downplaying of guys like Travis Outlaw is a little criminal. If they are doing that, if that's where the poll is, I think we're being very dishonest. People were telling me Travis Outlaw in his mm-hmm. fifth and sixth year was going to finally bust out and become an NBA All-Star. And I just, really? Like, that's kind of what we do in this city. We pick players, and despite what we see with our own two eyes, we think they're going to be substantially better the next year. I'm going Nurk here, though. I know it has not been as long a run as Travis Outlaw had, mm-hmm. but the production's been better. And when he got here and what he gave us, you know, in a weird sense, it kind of revitalized things.
It did.
You know, it's, I know they made the postseason the year after LaMarcus, and it was surprising. They got to the second round, remember, because the Clippers got hurt. Mm-hmm. That was a fun run. It was random. Nobody thought it would be here. I don't know if we thought that was sustainable. I think most people saw that and went, well, it's all well and good. And then they started the next year, and they were absolutely terrible.
They were heading for a top five pick before that trade.
Top five pick territory. I think people kind of looked at this and said, where are we going? And then they went and took a gamble and got a Jusuf Nurkić and a Mason Plumlee deal. And the rest is history. He gets an opportunity. He plays extremely well. He takes that team from one of the worst defensive units in the league to a top 10 unit. You know, before the injury, he had all the momentum rolling and going for Portland. As great as Dame is, it was kind of a lifeless situation. And he helped revitalize that a little bit. And unfortunately, it hasn't gone completely how they wanted to, and he's dealt with some injuries. But when I go to games and I hear him announced, it's one of the louder ovations. When he was announced or shown on the big screen last year against OKC, it was a madhouse, man. You couldn't hear yourself think. It wasn't the walk-off Dame level, but it was whatever that next level below that is. When they saw him on the Jumbotron, they went insane.
Yeah, this is Nurk. It's really, I don't even think it's that close. And I know, you know, Outlaw had his, there was always hope for him.
He never did anything of substance on the court.
There was never a frenzy that the way that there was when Nurk showed up.
The only argument that I would make against Jusuf Nurkić is, would you rather have had a top five pick?
I'm not saying
it's his doing, but if you don't make that trade.
I mean, if you give me a chance to have a Jason Tatum with Dame and CJ, I'm all the way in. But here's also a credit to Nurk. Say what you want about that a couple years ago. There are still a lot of Blazer fans listening and that don't listen. They truly believe that they're going to be a title contender next year because he's going to be healthy.
Coming back. Yeah, Nurkić he's running away with it. It's 80.7% to 19.3%, but I voted Travis Outlaw, baby. Trotlaw for life. Next one up, favorite Blazer of all time. Continuing, these are play-in matchups. There's two more to get to quickly here. This is for the modern era Blazer bracket as well. A little surprised by this. I think this is revisionist history. Steve Blake, who, if you forgot, had three different stints as a Blazer, 2006, 08, 09, and then 2015, taking on Rudy Fernandez, who was here from 2008 to 2011.
I'm going to lean Steve Blake, but if that poll question is where it was at when I voted very early on.
It's 68% to 32% right now.
A lot of people lying. A lot of people are lying.
Rudy Fernandez was a huge deal. And I love, that's like one of those bad phases in high school that you try and not remember. Like you see a picture of it pop up and you're like, oh God, I used to do that. Mm-hmm. I think it's almost one of those eras that we're ashamed of as Blazer fans and we were so fond of him.
It's like seeing me in a picture from high school wearing very way too long jean shorts.
Right. You're like, God, what was I thinking?
Like, that was cool.
But you know what? Sometimes you need to acknowledge the phases that you go through. And we had a Rudy Fernandez phase in this city, whether we like to admit it or not.
That was our emo phase.
That was our emo phase. There were a lot of dark makeup and weird colors.
Dad, where's my eyeliner?
Yeah. Now, me personally, I don't know if I ever really had it with Rudy Fernandez. I did pull hard for him in the dunk contest. I thought that was a pretty big deal as a Blazer fan. I feel like he was the first Blazer in a while to be in the dunk contest when he was in there. I feel like we hadn't had one in a long time. But a little surprised that Steve Blake is running away with this one with the way he is. 68% to 32%.
He's a little more, I mean, not a little, he's a lot more consistent. And you mentioned the three stops. I mean,
he was here three different times.
I think him and his family live here permanently. Like, he's a pretty big staple now. You see him all the time.
I think that's it. He kind of embraced, you know, Portland as this one of, you know, and there have been a number of Blazers that have done that throughout the franchise, but he really embraced Portland and making this his home.
He did. All right, last one up. This is the last edition for the Jail Blazer era. One of these guys, kind of a borderline jailblazer guy, but the fitting them into smaller brackets was kind of tough. These are two more random names, but we did see them pop up quite a few times. Play-in game, Theo Ratliff, the good old Rattler, 03-06 versus Martell Webster, who was beloved by Blazer fans. He was here for 5 years, high draft pick, and I think he still lives in the area too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But Martell Webster versus Theo Ratliff.
The Rattler was well-loved and well-respected. I'm going Martell here, though.
Theo had a season in Portland where he averaged nearly 5 blocks a game.
Yeah, he was a beast.
Like that's pretty incredible.
He was still productive here.
He was. He had a good run.
It was like it's like being a Sixer fan and getting Dikembe at the end. You're like, oh, we got Mutombo, but he was still good. He was productive, but I think you got to go Martell here. He didn't live up to the hype, but I think a lot of the... You know, coming out of high school, out of the Seattle area, there was this push and this kind of hope and prayer from the fan base that he would become what you would hope, picking him where you picked him. And then even when he didn't really pan out, it was like nobody really blamed him.
No, because he was always so nice.
He was so nice.
Such a good guy.
He didn't do anything negative. And I just think people kind of viewed the time. I mean, think about when he was drafted and what that team was.
Yeah, it was bad.
Not a great era to be an 18-year-old growing up in the NBA. You talk about what ifs. I don't know. Maybe he goes to a different team. He has a slightly different career. But I still think people largely respect and appreciate Martell for all the years he wore the uniform. And if you just walk in Bridgeport once a week, you're probably bound to see him 2 of the 4 weeks in
just,
a month.
And just hanging around. Somebody say he lives in the Westland area. I see him here and there. Webster still around. Yeah, I think the personality aspect of it is a big one for him. I don't remember much about Theo Ratliff, the person. I don't know if we ever really got to know him as Blazer fans. He was the Rattler was fun, and watching him block shots was fun, especially when he came from Philly and he was so well known when that team went to the NBA Finals. But
right.
Martell Webster, I think he is the one guy that has always kind of risen above the bus label. And not that we don't call him a bus because he never lived up to the hype from where he was taken, but there's no animosity, I feel like, from Blazer fans towards Martell Webster. And he still shows up to games, taking pictures and that kind of stuff. I voted Martell Webster as well. 62% to 38% is what that one's at. Martell Webster moving on. So we'll update those coming up here at the end of the show, the play-in games for the favorite Blazer of all time. And then we'll have the final 32 all set for tomorrow, and we'll unveil that, and we'll throw it up on 1080thefan.com. We'll tweet it out, throw it on Instagram, the whole thing. We'll have some fun with this so you can go fill it out, but go vote on those and we'll let you know who won and who's moving on coming up at the end of the show. Let's get to the mail sack. Get your questions in. 55305. We'll answer them next on The Fan. You found my Bonzi Wells game. Was it game 2 against the Mavs?
Game 2 of the Mavs. He scored 45.
45 points. I don't know why. That's one of those random memories I have.
Well, that was a fun series because they were getting their ass kicked, and then they randomly sent it to a game 7.
Yeah, they were down 3-0, and they almost became the first team in NBA history, and then they lost game 7 in Dallas.
So game 6, I don't know if I've told this story. So I was a lot younger. Me and my friend were super into NBA basketball. Like this was when I really diving in. And they had the game 6. Bill Walton was on the call, and he was a huge Walton fan, even though he'd never watched him play. So we didn't get tickets. We couldn't afford them. What we did was we said, what if we went to the game? We watched the game, and then we went near the end, and we snuck in. And I was like, this isn't going to work. So
There's no way. We
watched most of the game. We got to the arena with like a 2 minutes left. You could hear wheels on the call outside by the, you know, the water fountain area. So we're listening to the end of the game. You can hear the crowd going crazy from just outside. Everybody starts filing out. They had just won. We snuck in through the doors. People were coming out. Nobody even noticed. So we went in. We went all the way to the court. Walton was being, there's a line for autographs. Mm-hmm. My friend found one of those thunder sticks.
Yeah.
And we got Bill Walton's autograph.
How about that?
So that was a cool moment for him. He got super geeked. We walked out. We were going to go to the Max and go home. And when we got out, we came near where the player bus comes out in the parking lot. And you could specifically see Steve Nash, and Dirk was probably 2-3 rows behind him. Steve Nash was on the window right by us. You could see Steve Nash. And this dude comes up out of nowhere, threw an egg, hits right at Nash's window, and he goes, "You suck, Steve Nash." It was one of the better times of my life.
Oh, that's phenomenal. I am enjoying all the reminiscing about old Blazers, too, like some of these texts. I mean, it's in my emo phase. The Mavs traded for Rudy Fernandez, and as a Mavs fan, I was so stoked he never played stateside again. people bringing up the Steve Blake assist record, I believe that still stands. He had like 14 and a quarter to open up a game randomly. That's like the most random thing. It was like the Andre Miller 15-point game. I remember that. And then
you mean 52-point game?
52, yeah. What did I say?
15.
Oh, yeah, 52, yeah.
I think Andre Miller scored more than 15
in a game. Blake, I think, had 14 or 15 assists in a quarter, if I'm not mistaken. I think that record held for a long time, if it doesn't still. And then the Spanish Connection text as well, the old Sergio and Rudy days.
Sergio.
Good times,
he's,
man.
He's had a thriving career overseas.
Has he? He's turned into a good little player?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he was always a good player.
Sure. Just never cut it as much in the NBA.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the mail sack, shall we? You guys ready for this?
Sure.
Got a lot of good ones coming in today.
Okay.
P1 Jesse, let me go. I got to scroll back and find this one through all the Blazer texts. He asked, Mail Sack, if you have to pee really bad, there's nowhere to stop to use the restroom. Will you pull off the side of the road to take a leak?
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah. That's a yes.
Feels great.
So I did it on a freeway. Famously.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go, you got to go. Especially now, it's probably an easier time, too, because there's not as much traffic. Yeah. You don't got to worry about the drive-bys.
Swag peed on Jill Savage.
He did.
No.
He did.
No. No.
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane.
God, how did he not get fired for that?
I don't know. He's swag.
Jeez. Yeah, the power of swagger. You can do whatever you want.
These days.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's true.
Who's going to be in here to stop you?
I think we all agree on this one. Which fan personality is most likely to get caught sending a nude picture?
Sook.
Oh, really? I was going to answer Sprague.
No. Sook's the most naked of... He's, I mean,
why do you know that?
Because he said it on the air numerous times. He is the least modest... Sprague?
So he'll make fun of people that run shirtless, but he's the most naked? That's kind of a condescending stance to have, isn't it?
That is. He's playing both sides of the fence there.
Look, I don't really care whoever listens to my show, family or friends, so if I'm just being 100% blunt, I have at least 10 D-picks out there over my lifetime. Absolutely.
Again, hence my answer.
Yeah.
Brandon Sprague.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'd vote for myself. I couldn't vote for myself.
If you couldn't vote for yourself.
That's a great question. Yeah, Rop or Sook?
Nude Rop photos with long hair
Rop.
Now.
Rop would be totally naked at an Italian beach. Don't tell me you can see that.
The glasses on.
With the long hair now? Yeah. Come on.
All right, would you rather have... one of our P1s is on fire today. I like some of these. Would you rather have one amazing month-long vacation every summer... or no vacation days, but every weekend is 3 days. So every year you get a month off in the summer with an amazing vacation, or year-round, three-day weekends.
I'm pretty big into structure, and I love the three-day weekends is going to happen in our lifetime. I don't know who's going to run on the platform, but somebody will, and eventually we're all going to go, yeah, this makes sense. We shouldn't be working this much. But I'm always going to take the better vacation, because if I could have never done my Vietnam trip, that would have sucked. 3 day weekends are great. I love the consistency of them. But if you can take a great couple or family vacation, nothing beats that experience.
No, for a month long to totally unplug, go somewhere, have a, you know, completely new, different experience. Because even if you have all those three-day weekends, if you try and, you know, get an excursion or go somewhere for a weekend, it's still hectic. Even if you're having fun and doing things that you want to do, it's still hectic. Whether it's, you know, you have an extra day to travel or whatever, but it's still hectic. So give me the month.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer for me because you get to go see the world. Think about all the places you could go every summer for a month, getting a month off. Just recharging the batteries. I think everybody should have a sabbatical at their job. This would kind of be that, just on a shorter version.
It was amazing, man. 19-day vacation. And
you just get away from everything.
It's surreal. It puts a lot of things in perspective, for sure.
I think that would refresh you far more than having just three-day weekends, although I would love three-day weekends, don't get me wrong. But, I go with a one-month long vacation. Next one up, you got to give up meat, dairy, or wheat for an entire month. Which one do you choose?
That's wheat, because I've been doing it for the last couple of months.
You do no carbs. That's not hard.
Okay.
Cheese and steak? Yes, please.
Yeah, I would probably answer wheat as well.
And I think I cook everything with butter.
Get that Kerrygold butter working.
Yeah. Does not beat it.
Yeah, I think I go wheat as well. You can change up alcohol things as well. Okay, in college football, would you rather go 7-5 but beat your most hated rival?
Go Beavs.
Or go 9-3 but lose to them?
I mean, wouldn't you?
7-5 and beat your rival? There's
no difference in that record.
No difference.
Well, 9-3, you could get a trip to like a conference title game at 9-3.
Nah.
Washington won the Pac-12 after going 9-3 2 years ago.
Oh, I'm not questioning your opinion
on
that.
You want to win more games, but I think if you beat your rival or have a winning record and go to a bowl game.
I'll take that. 8-5 season with a win over the rival.
Yeah. Like if we're adding wins to it now in a bowl game.
Well, yeah, they're going to beat the rival. They're going to win the bowl game.
So you'd rather have that than a 10-win season? Or an 11-win season if you go to a conference title game and a bowl game?
Yeah, but like the few and far betweens of going to a conference championship at 9-3. I'd rather beat you wouldn't rather beat UW every year?
I mean, of course you want to beat your rival every year, but 7-5 would be wildly disappointing year in and year out. Every single year.
I wish we had a 1983 Duck fan in here right now. Scream at you.
Yeah, I mean, look. It's easy to say you don't mind losing to your rival, but 9-3 gives you a chance to go to a better bowl game, a better matchup at the end of the season, chance to make a conference title game.
The problem is you need to put the shoe on the other foot. If you would have been on the other end of the UW streak and UW beat you guys for over a decade.
Well, I mean, they were in my childhood.
I know, but it's different. You know, we're kind of the same person, right? We rooted for the better team, Oregon State. When it's in your blood and you become a Duck fan or a Beaver fan or whatever, you go a decade plus of beating a rival, that's some pretty good humble pie. Even if that other team occasionally has a better record, guess what? Can't beat us.
Millsack, you're on the road and you pull into a gas station. What's your go-to snack and beverage?
It's a great question. Road trip?
You're on the road, you pull into a gas station. What's your go-to snack and beverage? Beverage, I'd go Gatorade. Rotating mixture of Gatorade's probably my go-to beverage. Snack, to be honest with you, if I'm road tripping, this is an easy one for me, and I'm doing spit sunflower seeds.
If I'm road tripping, probably beef jerky. So I have it hangs around a little while, as opposed to getting like chips or something where you munch and half hour later you're hungry again. Mm-hmm. Or, plus, that's a big mess in the car. Probably just bottled water. I don't want anything that's going to make my carbonation, that's going to make my stomach rumble.
Water and raw almonds.
Supposed to roasted almonds?
Honestly.
God, if that's your serious answer.
If I went on a road trip, yeah, I'll have some fun. I'll probably take a Coke and a Dorito bag.
Yeah,
Cheetos.
Get a bag of chips or something. Yeah. Cheez-Its and a Coke, somebody said.
Pretty standard.
Cheetos and Lipton unsweetened iced tea.
I do. I'm pretty partial to gummy candy.
Gummy candy vice guy?
Yeah. I love like the Lifesaver gummies. I love the gummy worms, the gummy bears. I'm pretty big on gummy candy.
Sprite and spicy pork rinds.
Ooh. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we have people texting in, too, about the rivalry one, and they happen to be fan bases of fans of teams that haven't beat the rival in a long time, which I understand why you would think that if that was the case.
Well, I just say, many Duck fan listening that I've heard from and that even sometimes you, there is an idea about Oregon State fan, not all of them, but an image. I would tell you right now, you wouldn't see or hear that image if Oregon State beat Oregon every year.
No, you wouldn't.
Even if Oregon finished with a better record, Oregon State fan would not be as up in arms or pissed, but it's because we also end up losing to the Ducks.
Right.
More often than not, as of late. Yeah.
Right, because we have a Michigan fan saying, give me that 7-5. It's like, I get it, dude. You haven't beat Ohio State in like a decade. And then saying that we got a Cougar fan texting in, I'd take a losing record if we beat the Huskies. Like, dude, I totally get that because you haven't beat them in a long time.
I think you need to be on the other end of a long streak.
I'm speaking from a much different place. There's no doubt
about
that.
You just beat your rival
back-to-back years.
In Seattle and at home.
Back-to-back years. You can keep those coming in. 55305. We've got a couple more mail sack questions to get to. And then I have one other thing in my notes. I'll find it during the break.
Mike Gundy?
Oh, God. I don't want to do that today. And I'm in a good mood. I don't want to make fun of Mike Gundy. We'll back after this. I'll come running back to you. Hey, we'll announce the winners of the favorite Blazer of all time play-in matchups that we had today. Not a lot of shocks. Most of these turned into blowouts, but we'll announce those winners coming up here in a few moments. Now, this was an interesting question that I think we're all kind of faced with, and I wonder what people are doing about it. By the way, I appreciate all these road trip snacks that are coming in. A lot of good ones. Spicy nacho Doritos, peppered beef jerky.
Well, I'm not a big fan of like naming one snack.
That's, I know, it's tough to do.
I never do that. When I go to different stops, I usually mix it up.
Yeah, you grab three or four things if you're on a road trip.
I mean, usually I always grab a hot dog.
You know, one of my go-tos is, well, I love the like jalapeno Chex Mix. I love those.
That one's pretty good.
I love Chex Mix to begin with. Yeah. You got a little spice on top of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, now we're talking. But somebody asked this, would you rather not cut your hair or your beard for a year? Now, and this brought me to the question of what are you guys doing about your hair? Because you can't get your hair cut right now.
I'm growing it out.
You going to let it go?
Yeah.
Fortunately, I got it cut right at the start of March, right before I went down to the conference tournament in Vegas. So
you entered the quarantine in a good spot.
I was, yes. And well, we've all seen, I can let the hair grow out. It just takes more product. So, but yeah, the hair will grow. The beard, on the other hand, it would get to a point where it would be unmanageable. You're going to want to.
You want to trim it up.
It'd get itchy.
What does that really mean? By the way.
What?
Yeah, why is it unmanageable?
Why is it? It's just gross.
It's quarantine life. Why don't you make it manageable, Swigard? Let it fly.
At some point, it'd just get in the way.
Because I don't really know what to, it's kind of a weird, I would love to get a haircut, but I don't really know what the protocol is there. I don't know.
But you shave your head.
I mean, I just go with a buzz cut, but I mean.
Yeah. Don't you have a buzzer?
Well, you can just do that if you got clippers.
Yeah. It's going to end up terrible. It's not going to look good.
Did your mom cut your hair when you grew up?
I mean, a few times when I was super, super young, yeah. Just go back there and get an old buzz cut again. I'm worried about that look. Do I want to balance trying to get the buzz, or do I want to just let it go for a while?
Yeah, I'm just, because I could get my hair cut too, but I'm just growing it out during quarantine.
You're just going
to
let it
I'm going to wait for this whole thing to go away, and then like, okay, now I'll look more normal. I'm currently bringing in basketball shorts every day, so.
Right.
And obviously, I'm not dressing a part, but I don't really care what it looks like.
We're not on TV, so.
Well, even if I was on TV, I wouldn't care.
Yeah. You just let it keep going.
From all 20 people who watch sports radio on television.
We said number one buzz on the hair. It's quick and easy. Somebody said the wife cut mine only after one bottle of wine. Ooh, that could get dangerous. I did that one time. I cut my brother's hair one time. And because he was trying to do it at home, like when he was in high school. I don't know why he didn't go get it cut in person, but he needed me to line up the back for him because he was just doing a buzz cut or something like that, too. And I was like, I mean, sure, I'll try. Hand me the clippers. So I started lining up the back of his hair, and I couldn't get it in a straight line. And so I kept going higher and higher and higher.
Just starting over.
Like not paying attention to how high I was going, trying to make sure that it was straight all the way across. And then the next thing I knew, it was like halfway up the back of his head. And I was like, ooh.
And he had to shave it all off,
didn't
he? I
should probably step. I think he just wore a hat for a while and tried to cover it up the best that he could.
Damn.
A bit of a dangerous situation there, you know? You never know what's going to happen.
Well, how much do you pay for a haircut? Because I haven't paid for a haircut in a while. And the one thing I've thought about.
Do you have like somebody in your family that cuts your hair?
My sister-in-law, she does hair stuff. And it's easier that way. But I thought about at the end of this going to a barber and supporting like a local business.
Sure.
How much do you pay for haircuts now? Is it still like $20 counting tip?
Yeah. Somewhere in that range.
So that price isn't
15 to $20.
Okay.
If you're not going to a high-end sort of place.
And if you're not doing anything overly fancy, you know, I just go with a buzz a little bit longer on the top, shorter on the sides. That's kind of my go-to. And it's usually $17 to $20 wherever you go.
Yeah.
You tip them a couple of bucks on top of that.
Yeah.
I do want to go. I think now it's another one of those things that you think about too in the aftermath of this. Like I'd love to go to more mom and pop haircut places or salons.
Barber shops.
But I usually just take the easy way out, man.
You go to like Great Clips or something?
Yeah, you go to like a Supercuts or like a Sports Clips or something like that. Cuts. You pull in, they got a locker for you, man. It's cool.
They still have Supercuts?
Yeah, Supercuts.
That I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't seen Supercuts.
Is there not a Supercuts?
Sports Clips and Great Clips I've seen. Yeah.
Maybe it's not Supercuts.
Bishops.
Yeah, Bishops is still around. They give you a beer while you wait.
That's actually pretty cool. There's an older gentleman. He's got a barbershop in downtown Oregon City. And I think I want to go there to get my cut.
Old school. He's got the combs in the blue liquid.
When I drove past him one day, I looked in and he's got, you know, one of those old school barber.
Yep.
What are those called?
Barber poles.
Barber poles.
Yeah.
And he had a guy in a seat and he was He was shaving him with a razor.
God, that is so cool.
Old school style.
You get the whole face shave too. You get the whole lather up.
Well, I don't really need that.
You don't need it, but it would still be cool. You lean back in the seat.
I'm too nervous for that.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You think they're going to slice your cheek open? They've been doing it for years. There's nothing even on your face to shave. It's just for the look of it.
Yeah, why am I wasting my time and my money if I'm not shaving anything off?
Yeah, it could feel good. Maybe they pat on some good smelling stuff afterwards or something, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Give you a little aftershave there. Let me say, I pay $60 with tip for haircut and a beard trim.
$60?
If you got long hair and a long beard, you want to get your beard dialed in, I could see that.
If you get shampoo, too, oh, man, sign me up. Every time.
Yeah, somebody said, I've been growing mine out for a while now. No issue there. Got to be able to clean up the beard at least once a year. I would say, yeah, at least once a year. How about this? Somebody said, this August will be 7 years without a haircut or a trim. It's glorious. It's a lot of damn work, but definitely worth it. I'm starting the beard growing, going about 3 weeks now. I will reevaluate in 9 months or so. You imagine going 7 years without a haircut or a trim?
Go get it, Samson.
How long is that hair? 7 years.
Yeah, he's got to send in a picture.
Yeah, I want to see. Yeah, how long? Like, if when it's not up in a man bun or tied up?
Does it take to wash all? I mean,
how do you even do that?
You got to be thorough.
That take a long time to wash?
Condition. I would imagine.
We got to condition it.
Right.
No, if I had hair, like, if it was, like, long, like, I'm imagining what 7 years looks like.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, down to your waistline in the back.
Right. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
No.
7 years?
A lot of people's hair doesn't grow that long.
You don't think so?
No. It's just like beards. Why do some guys' beards go all the way down, and why do some guys' beards, when they don't shave it, stop?
Dude, I don't think they stop. I think they keep growing. There's people shave them.
I have a friend that hasn't shaved his beard at all, and it's been just stuck at the same level. Yeah. It maxed out.
Yeah, I want to know how long that is.
His face pubes only grow so long, but if you have long hair, like, you know, the same length as many women. Some ladies don't wash their hair but every 3 days. I wonder if you go that route.
You just only go, and you go dry shampoo on it?
No, because the oil is supposed to be good. When you don't wash your hair, it's supposed to be good to have, like, that natural oil.
Yeah, how about that? 7 years. Yeah, let us know how far that is. I'm curious. I thought that was an interesting question because I was thinking about that the other day. My hair is getting a little long, and I'm just kind of like, all right, do I just shave it at home or do I let it grow? I'm kind of stuck in between, but we'll see how long we go with that. Let's answer the favorite Blazer of all time poll questions. Who's moving on to the official bracket to meet our 27 automatic bids? We'll let you know those. Wrap up the show next on The Fan. Good vibe on a nice day. What's everybody throwing on the grill tonight?
We're doing Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
You grill any meat for Taco Tuesday? How do you? What kind of meat are we going with for your tacos?
Standard ground beef. I had a local distributor that they were starting to hurt, so I had somebody send me a list of things, eggs, meat, etc., that you could buy in bulk, and I bought some ground beef, and it's actually pretty good. It's one of these local little farms. And I think we bought like 5 pounds, so we got about a pound and a half left.
Now load it up, man.
Just do it with tacos tonight.
What are you throwing on the grill, Swigard?
Dinners are soup and salad under the... I get to have my protein-filled meal there at lunch.
Poor Traeger.
The Traeger got worked out over the... So weekends, you make a whole bunch of stuff.
So when you achieve this weight loss goal, this is what I always wonder with people like you. Are you going to stay this weight, or are you just going to say, I did it, and then get fat again? Like,
No.
What's the plan here?
Well, and that's where I'll talk with my nutritionist coach there at Better You Today and say, okay, how do we, you know, I don't really need to, I'm down at the weight that I want to be at, so how do I maintain it and bring things back in? And it'll probably be having more protein. I don't think it's not like I'm going to turn around and start having French fries and roasted potatoes and hash browns with every meal. Obviously, that would defeat the purpose, but... to get a little more protein into more of the meals.
Throwing some salmon on tonight.
Are you?
It's a salmon night.
There you go.
Wish I liked fish.
Yeah.
Salmon night at the Dirt Household.
I threw some cut up shrimp in the salad the other night.
So. You gotta have a little protein mix in there, man. Somebody texted in. Where did this go? Ba-ba. Man, I was doing the supercuts thing for a while, then decided to bump it up to a nicer place. Best move ever. Totally worth the extra money. Huge difference in quality.
Yeah, my last time going to a place of that caliber, and you know, you're talking the generic cutting place, I think my barber, I don't think he was very happy working at that facility. So he kind of treated my haircut that way.
Yeah, he needed a little more freedom, if you will, or
Well, I think I don't know if the pay at those places are as great as if you're maybe better facility or you run your own. I don't know. I'm spitballing here, but my haircut was not very good. And so at that point, I was like, yeah, not going back.
Yeah, somebody said, I've been growing my dreads out for 6 years. It's past my chest. I can appreciate.
Tell me when to go.
The commitment on something like that, man.
How would you look with dreads?
I mean, I guess it would be awful. That would be, I don't know if I want to go the Bronson Arroyo route here. I don't know how that's going to play for me long term. But I can appreciate somebody that commits that much to the look and you do it for that long.
Yeah.
It's a good look, one, to pull it off and you commit to it to that level. That's pretty kick-ass, man. Anthony says, I'm reverse searing some ribeye tonight on the Traeger.
Ooh.
God, it is hard to not at all get all giddy like a schoolgirl when you look at the weather forecast. Have you guys glanced at that over the next 10 days?
I'm trying not to because then I'll assume it's going to be that every day and then something bad will happen.
Like, I'm contemplating. I want to throw my garden in, man. I'm ready to go.
You know what sucks?
Start planting some stuff, man.
Where my barbecue is, we have like a side yard. We have a backyard with a side yard. And the angle of the sun with where our house is, the sun only hits that part until about 11:30 in the morning. And then the rest of the day, it's all in shade. So even on like really legit warm days, like a 74, 75 degree day, it can still feel a little too cool. And that's the only part that sucks for me is I wish I could go home, do some side yard work.
Right.
But the sun's not there. And the wind blows a little bit.
It's like, a little chillier.
What are we doing?
It's weird if you're in the wrong spot. You don't feel that same heat. Yeah. I had the opposite reaction though on Sunday because Sunday was like, what, 59? Like Sunday wasn't that warm. But we went for a long walk and I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt and it felt like it was 85 degrees.
See, I went running because I thought it was 65. I was convinced it was a lot
hotter.
It
felt fantastic, right? Yeah. Like you just feel like it felt like a summer day. It's amazing when you come out of like months of rain. And I know we had a brief period there. It was nice kind of in February, but you come out of that kind of bad weather stretch and just one of those first nice days, it just feels amazing. So the weather forecast is great. Let's mention who is moving on to the favorite Blazer of all time bracket. One listener is very upset that Isaiah Ryder does not appear to be winning. Looks like he's going to get bounced. Here appears your winners, and we'll leave these open until tomorrow morning. So they got 24 hours, so we'll finalize the bracket tomorrow. So you can continue to go vote at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Buck Williams routing Rod Strickland. 78% to 22%, give or take. So it looks like Buck Williams will advance. Bonzi Wells cruising past Isaiah Ryder, 69% to 31%, 69%, nice. Yusuf Nurkic blowing out Travis Outlaw, 79% to 21%. Steve Blake with the upset over Rudy Fernandez, in my mind, 67% to 33%. And then Martell Webster, 62% to 38% over Theo Ratliff. So it looks like Martell Webster, Steve Blake, Yusuf Nurkic, Bonzi Wells, and Buck Williams will be your last additions.
We had a lot of people. We had a few people text in after that segment because you said we didn't know anything about Theo. And a couple people texted him, I used to see him at strip clubs.
Yeah, Theo Ratliff apparently used to frequent the peeler joints, man.
Good for him.
Hey, go check out the scenery.
Hey, most good, per capita.
If you're into strip clubs, you might as well go there. all right. You guys going to watch any Red Zone tonight? They're showing that now. Apparently every day on the Red Zone channel, they're re-airing an entire week. Week two of the NFL season's going on right now.
I might take some of that in.
No.
No, not going to do it.
I watched it live.
I already saw it. Well, what happened in week two, Brandon?
What do you remember?
Tell me about week two.
I don't care enough to rewatch. I'm very limited on my sports rewatching.
Are you?
You're not getting me with a seven-hour Red Zone stuff.
Yeah, I feel like
Dame's Houston Game 6 walk-off tonight.
Oh, is that one re-airing on the local channel?
Okay. Yep.
Gotta be honest, I'm probably taking a break. I will maybe begin season 3 of Ozark.
Yeah, I need to start that show.
I've given you a lot of show recommendations. This one, I'm sure you'll like it.
We're rolling through the Sprague's Harry Potter collection.
Oh, yeah, how's that going?
We got two more. The final two movies is all we got left. Yeah. So we did a lot of damage. We didn't want to watch one last night.
You mean the money grab?
The money grab to break it into
two. Let's break it into two.
Yeah, so that's we're almost there. Once I get through that, I think that's probably my next watching thing. I'm going to start diving into Ozarks. Although I did watch the Better Call Saul episode last night. For those of you that are partaking in that season, there's only two more episodes left. It's been pretty solid so far.
I saw Knives Out on Saturday night.
How'd you like? Was it good?
It's good. It's very Clue. You know, the game Clue.
Yeah.
Whodunit. And to me, I thought it was very predictable. I was waiting for the twist, and I never got the twist.
Interesting.
The twist came, and I thought, oh, I figured this out the very beginning.
Like, that was it?
Yeah. But I still thought it was a really good movie, and it's a great cast of likable characters. And Daniel Craig, who plays 007, James Bond, I don't know how many people watch his career outside of James Bond. He was really good. He's this Southern draw, you know, really good detective, and he's a very good character.
That's kind of disappointing, though, because I feel like in a movie like that, the whole thing is waiting for the twist and the turn at the end.
Look, I've done this one other time. It was an Angelina Jolie movie. I think it was called Salt.
Okay, I never saw that.
I don't know why, but we went and saw it in theaters, action-based. 10 minutes in, I went, oh, this is going to happen, and it happened. I did the same thing with this one. It's the only two times it's ever happened. I was like, oh, I know what's going to happen. And then I was so disappointed when it actually went down that way.
You end up being right at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
There's no twist, man. Come on.
If you watch it, I think you'll enjoy it. I'm also curious, though, if you also predict it.
The same ending.
Because I don't think it's very tough to predict the outcome.
Now, the one movie, have you seen Parasite?
Not yet.
Okay, so I think when we're ready to do a show movie, that's the one that we should do. Because I haven't seen it yet either, and I'll hold off on watching it.
Okay.
Because it won Best Picture, and that's probably worthy of it. People, by the way, saying Ozark Season 3 was awesome. Yeah, once we get through that, the fiance had never seen any of the Harry Potter, so I had to rewatch all those. So once we get through those, I'm diving into Ozark. By the way, yeah, I believe it's starting tomorrow that they're showing the Masters tournaments again. I think 86, Jack's dub.
See, something like that I would watch because I
didn't watch it live.
I was born.
They're showing, I think every day starting tomorrow, they're going to start showing classic Masters rounds, culminating in Tiger, of course, winning last year. So you got that rewatchable going on in sports. Yeah, if I'm going to rewatch a sporting event, it has to be a class. I don't know if I want to rewatch like generic NFL games. It's got to be, I want to rewatch classic things that you either forgot about or you haven't seen yet.
Yes.
Yeah, ESPN showing when Cal Ripken broke
Like
the streak tonight.
Yeah, like that's a bit like, I remember watching that live, but it'd be fun to go back and watch that again. All right, we'll unveil the official favorite Blazer of all time bracket tomorrow. If you missed it today, we had Tony Gwynn Jr. on the show to talk about the plan to bring Major League Baseball back in Arizona. It was a good interview. Go check that at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Hope everybody out there is doing all right. Thank you for being a part of our Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. And what's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.